Yeah.
How are you doing?
I was expecting it to call at 12. It's 11 here.
Oh, that's right. Okay, it's 12 here. You want me to phone you later?
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
Okay. No, that's right. You're right.
I was just reading a book on what's the guy's name that just died, the physicist?
Hawking?
The guy in the wheelchair?
Hawking?
Yeah, Hawking. Yeah, I was just reading his latest book. Someone sent it to me. I don't know why.
Okay.
What's up?
Okay, what I was interested in is your statement about the modules being one page long. And the reason for this is I had a copy of the Boeing 767 software standards document that went out to all the contractors who won a contract to provide software for the 767 in 1980. Mm-hmm. Or it was probably maybe in 79, okay? But they each one of them got a document. And what it said is, you know, just the thing is supposed to, you know, every module will be perform a simple intended function, you know, avoid performing benign or adverse unintended functions, and provided adequate warning in event of failure. But then, if I recall correctly, it also stated that the module will have to fit on one piece of paper. Now,
I think that goes way back to 1940s.
The interesting thing, you may be right on that, but what I'm thinking, if you were just told this, or did you get a document telling you to do this when you did that software?
I mean, our supervisor said we learned to all fit in one page.
Okay, it was a supervisor. Because this was down in writing, and if I, you know, Sandia confiscated my copy, the lead author of the Boeing 767 software certification sent me a copy of the standard document, and it went goodbye, okay, in 1992. And so, I'm trying to, you know, after 39 years, but if I remember right, it even specified what control structures you could use, like if, then, else, you know, and do, while, maybe, and things like that. In other words, it was very, very specific. And I remember this, Pat Corey was the name of the lead document writer. He had an AWACS experience. And I remember him saying to the statement, like, somebody asked, can we use a compiler? He says, yeah, you can use a compiler, but we want to have the source to that compiler.
I wasn't restricted to that because Fortran didn't have then if then else clauses.
Yeah, sure.
But they, I think the idea was that they could replace small parts. You know, if they kept the module small, they could replace small, small things.
Well, that's what in the 1980 document, it says the software will be written to built like engineers build hardware.
Yeah.
And that's right. They have little small ones, and if there's a mistake here, something needs to be fixed, then they could yank out that little one, fix it, and stick it in to solve the problem.
Yeah. And if it turned out to be too long, then you'd divide it in two. You just keep making it smaller and smaller until you got it down to under a page.
Yeah.
But most of the programs on the flight test were simple things. They were like computing the fuel left in a tank. And you just, multiply flow rate times time, and you got the amount of fuel that you used.
Yeah.
So they were just simple formulas.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the other interesting thing about the flight test program is very few people knew how to program then, and even fewer of them were Americans. And so what they did is Boeing brought a bunch of people from Sweden and Norway, and they came into the company, and they only knew Algol. They didn't know Fortran.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I knew Algol and Fortran. So I was basically teaching these guys who barely understood English. I was teaching them Fortran. So I spent most of my time teaching these guys.
Huh. Interesting. Where did you work? In Seattle? Or?
Yeah, in Seattle and on Boeing Field.
Oh, yeah, okay. But then you entered WSU in 1996?